broadcasting around the world on International Shortwave and on the Radio Disclosure Radio Network. I bid you good morning, good evening, wherever you are in our universe. Tonight's show. Lee Austin is the guy. He wrote a book back in 2018, a professional broadcaster for over 30 years. This guy's done a lot of research on the Book of Enoch, the Bible, a lot of different things. He also has, I don't want to know if I want to call him theories. We've talked briefly, he sent me an email, and I think the basic synopsis is why NASA can't land on the moon, and it all ties all together. I don't know. Would you agree with that statement, Lee?
Yes, I would.
Welcome to the program.
Wholeheartedly. Thank you.
And just so you understand, the International Shortwave Station that we're on, we have a full 100,000 watts that comes out of the antenna. After it hits the antenna, it hits the ionosphere. And the gain, depending upon the frequency that we're operating on, can be anywhere from several million watts. Yeah. So I can guarantee you 5085 is being heard on the surface of the moon on the side that we're on. So
it's good to know. It's good to know.
So I'm going to let you introduce yourself to the audience so that way they know who we're talking to and what it is that you want to present tonight.
Sure. I appreciate that, Matt. My name is Lee Austin. I've also been in radio for about, over 30 years. And I actually do a show five nights a week right now in the evening. About 4 years ago, I was working for a network and someone had called in and started talking about the flat earth theory. I thought he was insane. After about 8 months, I became a believer and was fired from the network. After that, I wrote a book about it, and lo and behold, I got rehired by the network 8 months ago, and they told me I could promote the book. The book is called Morningstar's Tale, and it's the story of the cosmos, how everything works. The book is narrated by Lucifer Morningstar, and Morningstar is another name for Lucifer. And in the book, the father of lies decides he wants to tell the truth because he knows nobody will believe him. So he explains how the cosmos works, the universe is put together, how we're put together, and what's going to happen in the near future.
So hold on. Did Lucifer himself talk to you and tell you about this?
It was a very strange experience. It was similar to an experience that C.S. Lewis had when he wrote the Screwtape Letters, which is about one demon talking to another demon. I was channeling from God. I am a Christian. But at the same time, I was getting insight into the mind of Lucifer and how things work. I also read a book called The Secret Teachings of All Ages by Manly P. Hall, which is the Bible of the occult. So I'm reading the Bible one day, and I'm reading the occultic Bible the next day. I'm reading the Book of Enoch, the Secret Teachings of Enoch one day, and then I'm reading about esoteric religions and Osiris and all this crazy mystery religion stuff, put it all together into this book. So the answer to your question is I was channeling from God, but God was showing me the nature of Lucifer so I could narrate the story from his point of view.
So what do you got in the book? Well, I mean, if you want to give, I know nothing about it. So
sure.
When you start talking about the nature of how things work in the universe, and you're saying that the devil, Lucifer, tells the truth, that is just, wow. What's the big secret?
I knew if I told the story, I'm just some guy, I knew it wouldn't resonate with the public. So I began to think, who's the most outrageous character in the history of mankind? And without a doubt, it would have to be Lucifer. I can actually read, and it's just a short paragraph, the preface to the book, and I think that'll give the listener an idea of what the book is all about. Do you mind if I do that?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. This is the preface to Morningstar's tale. Recently, the Lightbearer disclosed the mysteries of his occultic kingdom, including the physical and spiritual laws that govern the universe. Knowing the vast majority of humans would reject his uncomfortable truth, the Father of Lies proceeded to write a book revealing the hidden secrets of antiquity. When asked about his motivation for such an endeavor, Lucifer scornfully laughed and replied it was an experiment for his own twisted amusement. And as he predicted, the reception for Morningstar's tale was met with universal scorn and derision, dismissed as the rantings of a madman. Ironically, his only honest revelation was relegated to the dustbin of failed novellas. Morningstar was delighted.
What is Morningstar?
Morningstar is another name for Lucifer. Lucifer is known as the Lightbearer. He's also known as Morningstar. So another name for Lucifer is Lucifer Morningstar. And that's where I got the name Morningstar's Tale. It's a story that Lucifer is telling.
So I would take it back in 2017, 2018, you got into this flat earth thing. And as you begin to get into it more and more and more, the rabbit hole began to get deeper and deeper. Do you want to share, I don't even know how you want to go about presenting this, but do you want to go down the rabbit hole in where it starts to where it got so deep that it was a chasm?
As I, you know, said earlier, there was a listener who called in and brought up the topic, which everyone thinks is ridiculous when they first hear it. But I began to watch YouTube videos like Eric Dubay and Mark Sargent, who I eventually ended up interviewing, but all of these flat earth guys who had YouTube channels. And what they were saying made sense. And then when I began to really dig deep, what ruined me was the secret teachings of the Book of Enoch. There's three books of Enoch. Of course, there's Enoch 1, and then the secret teachings of the Book of Enoch, and then there's Enoch 3. In the second book of Enoch, he explains the structure of the universe. There's one passage where he says, and this is what blew me away. He says, an angel took me up to the second heaven, and I looked down on the first heaven. So he's talking about where we live. This is the third dimension of the, this is the first heaven of the third dimension. Above us is the second heaven of the fourth dimension. And so what Enoch said is that an angel took him to the very precipice of the division between this realm and the next realm. And he said, I saw a greater ocean, greater than any other ocean in the earth. And then you go back to the Bible in Genesis, and it talks about the Ancient of Days splitting the oceans, that there's an ocean above and an ocean below. And the notion that there's an ocean above us encased in a firmament dome, just like the Truman Show, blew my mind. And so then I really began to fall into the rabbit hole, studied the secret teachings of all ages by Manly P. Hall, and I realized that this occultic Bible was actually pointing to the books of Enoch and confirming the Bible, and that there was a symbiosis between the occultic world and the Christian world, and each were confirming each other. And then when you inserted the books of Enoch, everything began to fall into place.
Oh my gosh.
As strange as it sounds.
Jeez. We come back from the break. We're going to continue this. Ancient alien UFOs in the Bible to flat earth to Lucifer telling the truth. 1-833-880-9899. 1-833-880-9899. Lee Austin is our guest. The book Morningstar Tale, his first book back in 2018. I'm going to throw that up on the website. We'll be back. This is Radio Disclosure. Welcome back to Radio Disclosure. I'm Matt Aaron, and our guest tonight is Lee Austin. We're talking about everything the universe. I think that's the way to put it. He's covered the Book of Enoch just shortly. I've read the Book of Enoch, and it is one of the most fascinating books that a Christian himself or herself could read. And I believe that there's a lot of interesting truth that you find in the Book of Enoch. You were talking about the Book of Enoch describes the universe. And from my remembrance, it talks about spheres, and it talks about how the spheres are there, how the rotation of the earth is compared to the sun, to and that's in the first of Book of Enoch. But I was not familiar with the second books of Enoch that you were describing just a minute ago.
Yeah, the second book, the secret teachings of the Book of Enoch, that's the book that really gets into the cosmology of the earth, the structure of Antarctica, the sea firmament dome. And he also talks about the luminaries, which are the stars. In that book, Enoch contends that the stars are not balls of fire like NASA tells us, but they're in fact angels. They're luminaries. They are sentient beings placed in the heavens, and there are angels that have charge over them, and everything is supposed to move. And the universe is set up like a clock. And in the geocentric theory, which I don't believe is theory, the Earth is the center of the universe. And there's only two immovable spots in the universe. One is the flat Earth, and the other is Polaris, the North Pole. And if you take a time-lapse photo of the stars, you'll notice they continually rotate around Polaris 365 days a year. So if we were actually traveling around the sun, as NASA says, at 66,000 miles per hour, while simultaneously spinning at 1,000 miles an hour, you wouldn't be able to see all of the stars in the universe spin around Polaris 365 days a year, and the same stars doing that every day.
Yeah. So let's talk about flat Earth for a minute. As a broadcast engineer / radio host and all the weird, strange hats that I wear, with international shortwave propagation, with FM propagation, with aligning things like STLs, and of course I'm gonna fire back on this, and I apologize if it offends you, but I got to get this out there. There is so much science and math that I have dealt with my entire life, as far as topo maps for FM broadcast, as far as international shortwave propagation and how that works, and the sun and how it changes propagation based upon how much RF energy is in magnetic flux is in the air. Can you enlighten me a little bit about how we deal with those things and flat Earth at the same time, and what is flat Earth compared to those things?
I don't have any issue with the science of radio. You know, like I said, I've been in it myself for over 30 years, and you know, I do understand some of it with, you know, AM, especially at nighttime, bouncing off the ionosphere. And the same thing with shortwave, because the waves are further apart, they can reach a greater portion of the Earth. What really does it for me is the empirical evidence, and I'll just give you one example. For example, in a jet, every jet, they have what is called the artificial horizon. And the artificial horizon is just a gyroscope. That's all it is. And the purpose of an artificial horizon is to indicate to the pilot that he's flying level. And any time that he's not, it will tilt up or down in relation to the horizontal line, the artificial horizon. Come to find out, that is not an electrical instrument. It is actually a mechanical instrument. A gyroscope is a mechanical instrument, and it doesn't matter how modern the plane is. They use a mechanical gyroscope for the artificial horizon. Okay, so when a pilot hits, let's say, 36,000 feet, and he sets it to cruise, he just kicks back and lets the plane do all the work, obviously. At that point, he's going to need to nose down constantly based on the curvature of the Earth, when in reality, that plane, the artificial horizon, stays flatlined during the entire flight until he's ready to descend, proving again that it is a flat plane. The plane would have to continue to nose down, or it would just fly off into space. So that's one example that I use to show that I believe the Earth is flat.
So what about the fact that you can fly all the way around this flat Earth? How does that work?
You can. For example, let's say you're flying from Anchorage to London. Obviously, the quickest route is to fly over the North Pole. Or if you're flying from Australia to Los Angeles, there was actually a woman, I remember this case, I think she was a Filipino woman, she was giving birth, and there was an emergency, and they had to land quickly, so they actually landed in Anchorage as opposed to Los Angeles, and on a flat Earth map, Anchorage is much closer to Australia than Los Angeles. But what really throws people off more than anything else, I believe, is what is known as the Antarctic Ice Wall. And again, this information I'm getting is from the book, The Secret Teachings of Enoch, the second book of Enoch. He said that the ice wall is 12 strata. And I looked it up. I believe a strata is 5,000 miles. So based on Enoch's calculation of the ice wall being 12 strata, that means the Antarctic ice wall is 60,000 miles in circumference. So the flat Earth is much bigger than the ball Earth. The ball Earth is 24,901 miles, I believe. And we're supposedly spinning at 1,000 miles an hour. According to Enoch, the Earth is flat and the Antarctic ice wall is 60,000 miles in circumference. And beyond that, no one knows what comes after that, because we're not allowed to go there due to the Antarctic Treaty, which was signed in 1959 by all the nations of the world, that no one would explore interior Antarctica. So we can't get to interior Antarctica, and we certainly can't investigate space because NASA has a lock on that.
So I've done satellite communication as a ham, and there's obviously GPS, there's obviously all these different satellites that are in space. And again, I go back to the flat Earth side of things, and I ask the question, how does all that technology work if we are on a flat Earth?
Okay. Let me see if I can find it in the book. I've got the book pulled up, the e-book. A lot of this I do remember. Okay. In the geosynchronous orbit satellite, I believe it is at an altitude of about 22,360 miles and change, something like that. That way it stays in a geosynchronous orbit with the Earth. If that's true, at that altitude, that's where the thermosphere is. And in the thermosphere, temperatures rise to 4,000 degrees. So my question then becomes, how can a satellite withstand 4,000 degrees of heat and also avoid hitting all the other satellites that are in space? We never hear of any satellites colliding with other satellites or space junk. So as I did more investigative work, and I'm not even too sure this is in the book, I've come to the belief that, in fact, it is high-altitude balloons. There are satellites, but everything is to scale. In other words, it's low-Earth satellites, which is about anywhere from 900 to 1,200 miles. So I do believe in satellites, but I do believe that they're being held aloft by high-altitude balloons. And another coincidence is that NASA is the largest consumer of helium on the planet, as they call it.
Interesting. So, where do you want to move on from here?
Well, let's talk a little bit about the article, because that's really what I think intrigued you to initially, you know, give me a call. I love talking about the moon because, you know, we can banter back and forth all day about the flat Earth and not get anywhere, because it took me 8 months to come over to the other side, and I don't expect to do it, you know, during a one-hour interview. But I would like to talk a little bit about the moon, because I think the moon gives us more evidence of where we live, because all of us can see it. We can't see the Earth. We can't get high up enough to see if it curves or it doesn't. So maybe talk a little bit about the moon, which is one of my favorite topics.
All right. Well, I think that makes... Let me ask you this before we go to the break. Do you believe that there is a base on the moon?
No.
Okay. Do you believe that there's people living on the moon?
No.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why after the break.
All right. Trying to figure out the flat Earth thing, that's something that I think we'll have to save for an entire show. I'll have to have Lee back on for that. His book is more... I'm sorry. I just went off into la-la land on this. We're going to put his book up on the website at radiodisclosure.com and get up there, grab it. Morning Star Tale is the name of the book. We'll be back. This is Radio Disclosure. Welcome back to Radio Disclosure. 1-833-880-9899 is the number. Lee Austin is our guest. Morning Star Tale is his book. I contacted him about the moon. He's got some interesting information on the moon. Some people claim that there's a base on the opposite side. Some people claim that the moon is hollow. And some even claim that it's made of cheese. I don't know. I think I'd like a cheese moon. How about you, Lee?
I'll take a double.
Yes, indeed. Swiss cheese is always nice. So, what kind of interesting information do you have on the moon and in the regards to all this other stuff that we've been discussing?
Sure. I have to give the credit, once again, to Enoch and the secret teachings of the Book of Enoch. He explains how the moon and the sun interact and how they're related. And I was just fascinated with, and still am, with the moon. Matter of fact, I'm going to step outside right now, because tomorrow night there is going to be a full moon. And if the listener can step outside, if you are listening or you just happen to be listening Sunday or Saturday, you're going to see a full moon in the sky. And what Enoch said, he said the moon and the sun are the same size. And that also confirms what the Bible says. The Bible says in Genesis that God made two lights. The greater light is the sun, and the lesser light is the moon. And what Enoch said, what the angel showed him, is that the sun pours its light into the moon over a 14-day period, fills it up, much like a glow-in-the-dark frisbee, and then over the next 14 days, it begins to extinguish that light. So we're told by NASA that the moon you might be looking at right now is the result of the reflection of the sun. The sun reflects off of the moon. When in reality, what Enoch is saying and what I believe is that the sun pours its light into the moon, and then the moon broadcasts or projects its own unique colder light. And right now, I'm in my backyard, and I'm standing in the moonlight. And they've done experiments. I haven't done this one myself, but another cat by the name of Rob Skiba did it, where moonlight is actually colder than the adjacent shadow. So if I were to step into a shadow right now, it would be warmer than where I'm at in the moonlight. And that's because the moon projects its own unique colder light, whereas the sun projects its own unique warmer light. So in the Book of Enoch, again, he says the sun and the moon are the same size, and that the sun literally pours its sun, its light, into the moon, fills it up, it becomes a full moon, and then over the next 14 days, it extinguishes and becomes a new moon, and does that ad infinitum.
Interesting. So there's a lot of energy that gets placed into the moon. And interesting. I'm trying to figure out the science behind that as I'm listening to you.
The science behind it is spiritual, because according to Enoch, all of this is regulated. The mechanisms of the sun and the moon are regulated by thousands of angels, and that everything is structured, and that it is like a clock. You have, in 364 days, the sun, and we can get into the seasons too, the sun goes from the Tropic of Capricorn to the Tropic of Cancer, and then back to the Tropic of Capricorn. And on the flat Earth model, it actually makes complete sense. For example, right now, where I'm living in God's waiting room in Florida, we just had the spring equinox, where you have equal sun and equal light. So at any time, the sun is above and rotating in a clockwork motion above the flat Earth, and so is the moon. But the moon is slower than the sun. The sun moves 4 degrees every 15 minutes. So in a 24-hour period, it makes a 360-degree circle above the flat Earth. The moon moves at 12 degrees. So over a 12-month period, the sun actually laps the moon twice. That's why the moon always seems to be out of position or in a different position than the sun. But another revelation I had, you know, take it for what it's worth, but I came to this conclusion after writing the book, and it's not in the book. The tides, how do the tides work? I was wondering, in the book I talk about how I believe there's this coronal vortex at the North Pole, and that the Earth actually rests on a bosom, if you will. It floats up and down. And that's partly responsible for the tides. But the revelation is that the moon has a negative charge and the sun has a positive charge. And as they each move through their daily and nightly cycles, that affects the tides, because a negative and positive charge affects salt. And the oceans are comprised of salt water, so you have low tide and high tide. Yet the Great Lakes, some of them as large as almost an ocean, have no low tide or high tide. The reason there are no tides in the Great Lakes is because the water does not contain salt, and therefore is not affected by the negative charge of the moon and the positive charge of the sun.
Interesting. So when you start talking about all of these angels that are in control of all these different things on the flat Earth and so on and so forth, can you describe that in more detail?
I can only go by what I read in the Book of Enoch, but he was talking about thousands of angels controlling the daily path of the sun. What happened was that when Lucifer fell, he decided he wanted the worship of God. He wanted to be equal to God, and God cast him out of heaven. All of these stars that you see are ordained to move in a certain way, in a certain path. they have been, I guess you could use the word, ordered to move in a particular direction. At some point, the Ancient of Days decided to decorate the sky with these luminaries, which Enoch calls sentient beings. So as you look at the stars right now, this is the hardest part for someone to get. And believe me, as I'm saying this, I find it hard to believe myself. I mean, I drank the Kool-Aid on the flat earth, but this, what I'm about to tell you, is very hard to believe, but I believe it. But it's insane. If you look at a star, you're outside right now like me, and you look at a star and you see it flickering, twinkling. The reason the stars flicker is that they are encased in the sea firmament dome, which is above us. In other words, we have the oceans below, but there's a much greater ocean above us. And contained within that ocean are these stars, these luminaries. And the reason they flicker is that the light is shining through the water. The reason that the moon and the sun do not flicker is because the moon and the sun are below the sea firmament dome. They are in the first heaven of the third dimension in which we live. And yet, if you look at the stars, they are in the second heaven of the fourth dimension. And the reason they're flickering is that there is a body of water between the star and us. And the sea firmament dome is holding in this ocean above us, which is so hard to believe. But when you look at the blue sky, as a child, when you ask the question, what makes the sky blue? The teachers would give you these roundabout answers, but the answer could be it's blue because the ocean is blue. There is a blue ocean above us, and beyond that are the luminaries.
Interesting. So the Bible talks about that the watchers are among us, and they watch us constantly. And if they were watching from the sky, wow, that's...
Well, and the Watchers is a whole other topic, and it's contained in the book, Morningstar's Tale. It's known as the Nephilim, which were the result of the watch. There was a third of the angels that rebelled with Lucifer. In addition, there were 200 Watcher angels, which descended on Mount Hermon, had sex with women. And that's why God flooded the earth. They talk about that in Genesis 6. What happened was they created a race of hybrids, half human, half giants. And so that's why God flooded the earth, is because of all the violence. The Nephilim, which actually grew to be 450 feet, according to the Book of Enoch, began to eat all the vegetation, all the animals, and then they began to eat man. And finally, they began to cannibalize each other and kill each other. And God flooded the earth.
Yeah, this is... I have to say, this is to be... Wow. When we come back from the break, I want to talk more about the Watchers in the Book of Enoch, because... That's definitely one of those things that leaves you awake at night. 1-833-880-9899. This is Radio Disclosure. Welcome back to Radio Disclosure. I'm Matt Aaron, your host. 1-833-880-9899 if you want to join us. I'm going to read here for a second. Genesis 6. And it came to pass, when man began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took wives. That's Genesis 6. The Book of Enoch tells a more detailed story on this that is more horrifying than anything that, I don't know. I mean, the Book of Enoch to me was a plea for these fallen angels to rejoin God's camp. That's how I took it. But my guest tonight, Lee Austin, you have a book out. We're going to put it on the website. You also have a website. What is your website?
The website is the same name. It is Morning Stars Tale, TALE.com. Morning Stars Tale.com.
So I'd like for you to kind of go over a little bit about, I mean, you just went through this whole thing where you said the sons of God. This could be in today's world described as aliens, UFOs, blah, 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 and all these UFO abduction stories, all these different things that we hear. There's one common thread. They're taking DNA. They're splicing DNA. They're making human alien hybrids, as we call them.
Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be before the coming of the Son of Man. Before the Lord flooded the earth with the deluge, what Satan was trying to do was corrupt the DNA, and he was successful. He sent the 200 watcher angels down to earth. They get together with the women.
You said that the flood came because of genetic manipulation of the human race, not because of sin.
Well, that is sin. You know, when you're tampering with God's creation, I mean, it's not stated in the Ten Commandments, but you're not supposed to mess with the DNA. I believe that it's a gift from God, and for us to try and change it is an abomination.
It says that we were created in His image.
Correct.
And what
Lucifer's trying to do is create man in His image. I really believe where all of this is going, and I'm not going to take a journey down the deep, deep rabbit hole, but with the current events that we're experiencing right now, it is all leading to a moment of disclosure. And this disclosure is going to be our alien overlord saying, we created you through panspermia. We've come back to give you technology. Do you remember a guy by the name of, Area 51? He was the engineer who said he witnessed firsthand all of the spacecraft. I forgot, Bob Lazar.
Yes.
And this is my theory on this. The military has made a deal with these interdimensional demons, or call them dark angels. You give us technology, and we'll give you access. And so when you see all these UFOs, especially around military bases, quite often it is a hybrid of alien technology and the military. And the whole idea of disclosure, Project Bluebeam, is to take our eyes off of Jesus and to put our eyes onto Lucifer. And that's what I believe is going to be the great delusion, is that many people are going to believe that these aliens, when they do have disclosure, created us, and this is going to lead us into that 7-year tribulation.
I've always said that if the Antichrist is going to come, he's going to step out, and he's going to claim that he's an alien, and people are going to buy it. And they'd buy that hook, line, and sinker. They could even tell us that they created us.
What does it say? I think it's in Revelation, and in Daniel, it talks about how he comes out of the abyss. I believe, and again, we're just throwing stuff out here. This is not the gospel, but I believe that the Antichrist is actually going to be a hybrid. In the book of Daniel, there's a very interesting scripture, and I believe it's in chapter 9, where he says he will not, speaking of the Antichrist, will not have any affection for women. So does that mean he's asexual or a homosexual? And wouldn't that also line up with the agenda that we're seeing right now in the world, with this trans? When people are not male or female, gender confusion. everything is moving along perfectly according to God's timetable. This is not order out of chaos. This is prophecy, and we're living in it. It's an amazing time to be alive.
The more that I sit back and I look at it, the more, so we got about 3 minutes left. Out of everything that you have learned so far since 2018, since you wrote the book and everything has occurred for you, what is your biggest revelation?
The belief in flat earth has drawn me closer to God. I've been a Christian, not a very good one, for over 40 years. Since 2017-18, my faith in the Lord has increased dramatically because of my belief in the flat earth. The heliocentric theory says that you live on a ball spinning around a pointless sun in a pointless galaxy. You're nothing. You're just a speck. But the flat earth theory says you're important. You are the center of the universe. God built this place on his pillars for you. Everything revolves around this earth, and that the Lord made this place for us because he loves us, and he wants us to know that we're special and we're important and that he's in control. And when I see the quietness right now in my backyard, I know we're not going 1,000 miles an hour. I know this place is fixed, and I know that God's in control more now than at any other point in my life.
It's amazing to me to think that someone, such as yourself, goes down this rabbit hole, and it brings you closer to God, and that's a whole testimony all in itself. That's amazing. So people can get the book. Once again, where can they go online to find that?
You can go to my website, which is Morning Stars Tale, and Tale is spelled T-A-L-E, morningstarstale.com, or you can just go to Amazon and type in Morning Stars Tale, and the book is available around the world.
So,
around the flat world.
There you go. Well, I really appreciate you. We're probably going to have you back on and do a little bit more structured interview at that point. And we'll probably get it to where you can take some phone calls in as well. So that's a whole lot.
I love that. And, you know, there's other chapters in the book about alchemy, numerology, so we can get into the occultic aspects of all of it too, because Lucifer reveals a lot in the book about how his kingdom works.
Lee Austin was our guest. He channeled God to find out Lucifer's lies. Wrote it down in this book. It's up on radiodisclosure.com. Go up there, find it, grab it. I'm amazed. Still don't know what to do about this whole flat earth thing. I'm still trying to process it. If you got something to disclose to us, 1-833-880-9899. 1-833-880-9899. That's available 24/7. We'd like to say thank you to WTWW, the International Shortwave Station, and all of our other local affiliates. This has been Radio Disclosure.